Well, all right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. All right. All right.
This is the voice of doom speaking. Special bullet. Flash. The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit you on the head. Now be calm. Don't get panicky. Run for your life!
The sky is falling! The sky is falling! A piece of it just hit me on the head! The sky is falling!
There you are, you see? Just like I told you, hit me on the head. Sure enough, oh my goodness, how awful, what'll we do? We'll all be killed.
Now look here, what's all the fuss and feathers?
This is something awful has happened.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening. This is Neil Coulong, managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. You are listening to The Standard is the Standard, the brainchild and idea of Lance Williams, the host of Steel Curtain Radio. We are pre-recording this on Thursday night in the middle of the Eagles and Chiefs Thursday night game. And Lance, I have no idea what that score is. If you want to provide a useless update, feel free to do that. My wife has occupied the TV for the night, so unfortunately we're going to have to talk here out on the deck under the stars here in glorious Lakeville, Minnesota, and the Palmdale area for Lance, talking about the Steelers week 3 matchup against the Chicago Bears. This game is on Sunday Night Football. This will be the 26th Steelers game broadcaster Al Michaels has done. He'll be alongside Chris Collinsworth, kickoff coming at or around 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, September 22nd. Lance, the Cincinnati Bengals defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers 20-10 in a very forgettable Monday night game. I'm going to kick this off right away just because we're trying to move past this as fast as possible. I really hope that was Mike Tomlin's message to the team this past week. They have two glaring, significant roster problems right now. One is at tight end, which we're going to get to in a second. The other one, the inside linebacker position. Keon Wilson and Vince Williams, basically the absolute opposite of what you want in that position, what you got out of Larry Foote. From what I saw of those two in that game, and please tell me if I'm wrong somehow, their performance is not up to the standard, which is supposed to be the standard.
Yeah, I thought they looked very tentative. I thought they looked very unsure of themselves in their run fits. There were a lot of opportunities for those guys to make plays, and a many of opportunity where McClendon would occupy a couple of blockers and the defensive ends would do their jobs. However, you know, the linebackers, particularly those two inside linebackers that you described, they weren't hunting. They weren't out there hunting. They were out there passive. They were out there tentative. And they were out there guessing and not knowing what they were supposed to do, particularly in the run game. And they didn't play a physical brand of football as well. So I agree with you that they are going to have to probably go out on the waiver wire and try to bring in a veteran inside linebacker, a box player that could be more stout in the run game.
I'm surprised they haven't to this point. Obviously, that's not something that's going to happen before their week 3 game, and maybe that was due to the short week and lack of prep time to really tell if they had a problem with that position or not. But as basically an amateur hack here watching it and evaluating it, I can clearly see that they are not playing at the level that one would expect from a professional grade inside linebacker, certainly not within the Steelers defense. On the other side of the ball, we saw the same thing out of a Steelers player that was atrocious in run and pass protection and really did not look like he was going to be out on the field. And you know what? David Paulson wasn't very good either. Between Mike Adams and Paulson in that game, there were several opportunities in which Michael Johnson ended up looking like Michael Strahan. The performance that he had in that game was probably one of the best of his career, but it was more the fact that it didn't seem to me Mike Adams had any idea what he was doing on the field. And starting the first play of the game, we highlighted that a little bit this morning, and we're going to get into play highlights tomorrow on Behind the Steel Curtain as well. Look forward to that. But in the meantime, Mike Adams is not getting the job done playing it simple at left tackle. Everyone wants to rag on Marcus Gilbert, and perhaps fairly so, on the opposite side of the line, but Adams isn't doing the job either. I think, here's question number two for you. I think there was more hope and there's more potential in Adams than there is in Gilbert. Yet, Gilbert continues to get the criticism, and Adams, whether he's getting a pass or whether people just aren't noticing, he isn't really hearing anything from anybody. Why is that?
I don't know, but I know the one thing that stood out to me is that Mike Adams is absolutely the weak link on that offensive line. And, you know, I was just thinking to myself earlier this week that if you don't see an improved performance out of Mike Adams, or you don't see consistency from one of those tackles, both of those guys are not going to be on the roster next year. And the Steelers are going to be in a position where they're going to have to go out and acquire a left tackle or a right tackle or a tackle of some sort with a very high draft pick to, again, try to solidify this offensive line. Mike Adams just looks like it may be too big for him. Physically, I think he has some physical gifts. He lacks power, but he has long arms. He's tall. He's very athletic. The light bulb has just not gone on for him. And unfortunately, I don't think the Steelers have any depth behind him other than Beecham, who can push him. So they're going to have to coach him up, or it's going to be a struggle for this offensive line moving forward.
This is what we're honestly saying. That Kelvin Beecham is mentioned in the same breath with two second-round selections, both of them played at large schools and should have been, for the most part, for the amount of time that they played their rookie season, ready to step in the field and play. As it is, I'm Neil Kulong, managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. He's Lance Williams of Steel Curtain Radio. We're going to take a quick break here, and I'm going to hit you back with a future projection, Lance. So get ready. We're going to continue talking offensive line, so stick around.
Well, all right. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, yeah.
Quote, to influence the masses, aim first at the least intelligent. Unquote. Now let's say, who looks nice and stupid? Pucky Lucky. Turkey Lucky. Ducky Lucky, Goosey Poosey. Henny Penny. Chicken Little. He looks nice and stupid.
We're back here on The Standard is the Standard. I'm Neil Kulong, managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. He is Lance Williams of Steel Curtain Radio. We are still going to talk offensive line because you know what, Lance? Everybody is talking about the offensive line. So obviously we're looking to be original here. But to be honest with you, I'm not sure what the other story is. I mean, you look at this offensive line, and we're going to take a step back here. Let's look at the investment that this team has put into its offensive line. Maurkice Pouncey, David DeCastro, first-round picks. Mike Adams, Marcus Gilbert, second-round picks. You get an undrafted Ramon Foster at the fifth position, but they just gave him an extension this offseason. That's a pretty heavy investment for what's probably the worst offensive line in football, don't you think?
I think it's close to definitely being the worst offensive line. And let me give you a stat, and I want to credit at Noel Schooled, and I want to credit Coach Tom Bradley, who was on Tunch and Wolf show, who first talked about this stat. And the stat is yards before runner contacted. The Steelers are a league worst at 1 yard. That means that a Steeler running back is getting contacted within 1 yard of the handoff. That's terrible. And I think the thing that stood out in the Cincinnati game, this is not a physical line. They are pushing no one, which makes it very curious. And maybe you can answer this or illustrate or enlighten the listeners and myself as to why they aren't using the outside zone play. This looks like a zone line because they have no road graders and they're not a physical bunch. Why have they abandoned something that they touted so much in the offseason and something that they've presumably worked on a lot in OTAs and training camp?
Why did they abandon it? It's very simple. One word. David Paulson can't block the edge. If you watch him on the move, he's decent enough if the play is away from him. But if he has to lead that edge, he's unable to do it. That's why they've got a tackle playing a tight end position. Kelvin Beachum is not nearly quick enough to get out in front to run it. And along with that, they don't have a running back that can really run it. I mean, maybe they can with Felix Jones. Maybe they can. But we haven't seen it. We're not going to get a chance to see it. The overall point is they're just simply inadequate. At the same time, though, this is something I wrote about this morning on Behind the Steel Curtain. It's as much a problem with the people that they have on the field as it is trust. They can't trust it, so they have to throw it out completely. How much time has been wasted because of that? Like you alluded to, all the time in OTAs, all the time in training camp, the hype, probably mitigated by myself to some degree, at least in the small portion of the world that actually read Behind the Steel Curtain. I talked about it a lot. I was really excited for it. Le'Veon Bell was supposed to be the running back to do this. Matt Spaeth was supposed to be the lead blocker on that outside edge. They don't have either of them, and they're not going to get both of them back for a very long time. Now, you don't want to say, let's throw all of this away simply because we don't have the right guys in there, but let's add Maurkice Pouncey in there. He's a key component to it. So you're looking at, honestly, the three guys that you couldn't lose if you wanted to run this scheme were all gone within 8 plays of week 1. What are you going to do? I mean, you can try to run power, but as you mentioned, they have a whole yard, 1 yard before contact. And I don't know if that means that of the 74 other yards they have, that means that's what the running backs have gotten after contact. And that isn't a good number either. This is why, through 2 games, they are the worst Steelers rushing team in the history of the franchise. Obviously, that's not a good place to be. Obviously, that's the main problem of this team moving forward. If we're looking ahead, though, I want to jump back to what you kind of alluded to this a little bit ago. The investment that they've put in, if Mike Adams continues playing the way that he is, if Marcus Gilbert continues on the path that he's on, they have to bring in a tackle. I think they might have to bring in 2 tackles. It's really that bad of a situation. Probably a tight end as well. So you're looking at over, since 2010 then, a significant amount of resource has been put into the offensive line and probably what's going to have to be the tight end position. How much of this are they going to be able to get away with without completely destroying the rest of their team? I mean, you hear it up and down about how old the Steelers are, even though that's really not the case on defense anymore, incidentally, because Larry Foote got hurt. How much more can they put into this? What more do they need to do? I'm not even entirely sure if they want to anymore. I mean, Kelvin Beachum isn't far away from the starting lineup right now, in my opinion. He was a 7th-round pick. How many 1st- and 2nd-round picks are you going to continue to throw at this offensive line?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because if you're going to go out and get another tackle and make another investment on a tackle, you're going to have to go the free agent route, like Harding's. You're going to have to bring in a veteran that you know can play the position, that you're not trying to develop. Because obviously there's an issue when it comes to them scouting offensive linemen, or particularly tackles. They're not doing it well. They're pretty good at getting wide receivers and some other positions, but they're not doing a great job in identifying offensive linemen. And when I did an interview with Lance Zierlein of the Houston Chronicle a couple of years ago, one of the interesting things he mentioned in that interview was he could not put his finger on what type of lineman that the Steelers like. What is the flavor other than they like big guys from big schools? Other than that, he couldn't really put his finger on the type of lineman that they wanted to select. So if they're going to dip back in and continue to make this investment, because they have a franchise quarterback in the last half of his career that you can't get racked up, and they're going to have to go out into free agency and get a tackle, period.
Let's get Mr. Zierlein on the show. I'd love to hear if he's able to put his finger on what type of lineman the Steelers like today, because seems like they all suck, and maybe that's the plan. I don't know. Maybe I'm a smartass, but it's plain and simple. They have not scouted these players well enough, but I'm going to put the devil's advocate hat on and probably get ripped by the whole Steeler Nation for suggesting such a thing. But shouldn't we at least look at the fact that these guys are 25 years and younger, along with Ramon Foster? And I'm not sure how old Velasco is, but it's not much, if any, older than Foster is. They're a very young offensive line. You need to have cohesion. You need to have chemistry. But at the same time, he's barely out of college. You know, with adversity is a critical component to being a professional player. When was the last time David DeCastro struggled in a football game? When he was a freshman, maybe, in high school? I mean, the guy has been a complete monster for the better part of the last decade. Now he's struggling. Who's there to help him out? Who's the veteran starter with significant experience doing what he's doing to really kind of take this line under his wing and lead him forward? Who is that? Is it Foster? Was it Pouncey? I don't think it was Pouncey. So if it's not Foster, who else are they looking to? Guy Wimper?
Quite possibly, but I think, you know, one thing has to get corrected, and I'm going to throw out one more number. I don't like to throw out a lot of numbers. Let me throw out these numbers. In two games, Ben's been hit 12 times, quarterback hits, been sacked 7 times. So if you combine the two numbers, that's 19 times. The Steelers have thrown the ball in terms of pass plays. That's if you add the sacks, 77 times. If you look at and you combine sacks and hits per pass play, Ben is getting hit every 4 dropbacks. That has to improve. Because if you get a guy like Ben Roethlisberger that has been injured in his career, is in the back half of his career, I mean, it's like a boxer. Your punch tolerance is not the same. And you can see the frustration in Ben as he's getting hit constantly now. And I'm afraid that if this doesn't get corrected, Ben Roethlisberger is going to get hurt, and this season is going to go the opposite way quickly.
You know, I want to touch on Ben here a little bit, but we're going to take a quick break here. I'm Neil Coulong, managing editor of Behind the Steel Curtain. Lance Williams of Steel Curtain Radio. You are listening to The Standard is the Standard. We'll be right back.
Well, all right.
We're back. Neil Coulong, Behind the Steel Curtain. He's Lance Williams of Steel Curtain Radio. We're talking Steelers football here in wake of the Steelers Week 3 game, Sunday Night Football against the Chicago Bears. We're going to dip into that game a little bit. I just want to touch up to our final point here on the Steelers offensive line and Ben Roethlisberger. There kind of comes a point that a leader who's been leading positively, who's been an exemplary player, who has the attention in the locker room, he's got to kind of freak out and get after people, doesn't he? And obviously, we don't know what's going on inside the locker room or anything like that, but I think Roethlisberger needs to take a little bit more heavy-handed of an approach here. I'm going to use that to segue into the Steelers' opponent on Sunday, and Jay Cutler, their quarterback, who melted down on their offensive lineman, Jamarcus Webb, last year. And most people remember the incident, but they don't know who the tackle was. Now, Webb was a guy who was cut by the Bears, and he's one of your, highly elite talent, physical offensive tackles, but with the head of somebody that would rather be doing anything other than football. At least from what you hear in media reports, it doesn't seem like he was the most committed guy in the world. Cutler gets after his face after being sacked, I believe, like by the sixth time in the third quarter of a game against the Green Bay Packers last year, and Cutler gets after him about it. People rag on Cutler for it, and perhaps to an extent rightly so. What they don't get after, though, is the fact that Webb is walking away from him smiling and laughing like it's a joke. At what point, not to suggest at all that the Steelers' offensive linemen find any of this funny, but at what point does Roethlisberger need to kind of, put away the positive, I'm supporting you guys, I'm behind you guys type of mentality, and as younger players, get in their face a little bit?
I think it's a fine line. I think you have to be very careful with younger players. I used to coach high school baseball, and I'm in my 40s. Guys are different. Guys have not been coached hard. It's a whole different era. So I think if you take that route, you got to be very careful. You've got to tear guys down, but you have to be quick to build guys up. Guys don't take it the same way like a guy my age used to. So I don't know if Ben should take that route, but I know the one thing that Ben should do. I think Ben should first start like what he said, and I thought the comments were apropos. And shame on Antonio Brown for saying and asking for the ball, saying me after a loss, is that you have to point the thumbs to yourself. And Roethlisberger has to be the first to dot the I's and cross the T's, because he's going to have to elevate his game if this team is going to win football games.
So the thing that I have with Ben, it's his performance right now. You can make 50 million excuses for him if you want. I get the fact that he won two Super Bowls. I get the fact that he's the best quarterback in franchise history. He's not playing good football. Plain and simple, he's not playing good football. I'm not going to give him a pass for that just because of what he's done in the past. This offensive line isn't playing well. We can't run the ball. The running backs are inferior. They're without a lot of players that make them do the things that they're trying to do. They'll improve. They can't get worse than what they are right now. They will improve. Will Roethlisberger improve? I saw a lot of clean pockets on Monday, Lance. I saw a lot of throws he could have made, including that interception, which seems to be kind of a thing now. He's thrown more picks in the fourth quarter over the last nine games than he did like in his previous 3 years. This is becoming a problem now. Is he going to be able to come back mentally, whether that's the injury or whatever else, is he able to come back?
He had better, because if he doesn't, they have no chance. And you're right. I mean, he has to play better football. We've seen other elite quarterbacks with serious deficiencies. Aaron Rodgers has had some of the worst offensive lines comparable to the Steelers in the last several years, and he still finds a way to be very efficient. Ben is going to have to elevate his game. And I said on my message boards that Ben is spoiled to an extent, because he's been always blessed with a very good defense that's allowed him to be inefficient in games till he gets it right. He's always played with, you know, a plus 8 to a plus 9, maybe 7 point differential, because he's always had defenses that have typically held teams to 17 points or less. And so if you give that to any quarterback, particularly one of Ben's skill set and skills and ability, I mean, you're playing with house money. You don't have to be the greatest quarterback. You don't have to be super efficient. You don't have to go out and score 25, 27, 28 points a game to win. You can go out there and score 21, 23. You still win games and win a lot of games. So he's going to have to elevate his play if this team is going to win football games again.
Speaking of teams that score more than 20, 21 points a game, the Chicago Bears come into Pittsburgh behind first-year head coach Mark Trestman. And from what I've seen, granted just through two games, the work that they've done with Cutler in that offense, to me, is nothing short of amazing. And in a lot of ways, it's almost as if Trestman has been able to do what the Steelers have been trying to do, hit and miss, with Roethlisberger under Haley over the last season and two games. I see a much more decisive, much more confident, much more relaxed quarterback in Cutler. I ranted this offseason how it is that the Bears could have fired Lovie Smith, the job that he's done, certainly on the defensive side of that ball, with that franchise, is probably easily the best in the game over the last 5 years. They cut him loose largely because they can't get anything of an offense going. Trestman, an offensive guy, comes in. It seems like he's got Cutler playing the kind of football that people expected Cutler to play. And this is a dangerous offensive team. I'm worried about Cutler's ability to more or less complete passes, to continue drives, to make throws down the field, waiting for that seam or that outside the numbers throw to open up. And that's exactly what the Bears did against the Vikings in week two. They came up probably a little short of that in week one against the Bengals, but he's making a lot of man throws. And that's going to be a concern, you know, to the point, who knows if Cortez Allen's going to be able to play, but the Steelers, where they sit right now, I don't think their defense is going to be good enough to bail their 13-point-a-game offense out. I don't see the Steelers winning this game. What do you think?
13 points a game? Come on, man.
I guess. I'm not even sure what the average is. Is it 13?
It's less than 10, my brother. It's less than 10.
We're falling that far, is that what you're telling me?
They scored 19 points in two games. Let's just be kind and say it's 10 points a game. I will say
this. That's where 13 came from. Just threw out a number, it's, I guess.
Maybe you're wishing they scored 13 points a game.
We're looking up to 13 points a game here on The Standard Is The Standard. We've hit a new low.
Can you imagine, before I make my comment, can you imagine if they come out and score 6 points? You'll hear Steeler fans saying they should run the veer on Monday.
You know, they're talking Osborne back to the sidelines in Nebraska. Hey, well, you know, why not make a pitch for him? That's
the
all
one
the thing
I
now.
Will
new
say.
Coaches are doing well.
The one thing I will say about Cutler and the Bears, and the one thing that showed up to me in watching the Viking game, is Cutler has used his legs very well to escape pressure. For a defense that has one sack, that's averaging a half a sack a game, for a defense that only has 8 hits on the quarterback, this might be the game where you see a Jarvis Jones make a play, or you see a Woodley make a play. Because as talented as Cutler is, Cutler will give you opportunities to get turnovers, and that offensive line is not the greatest, and I still think it's very porous. But with Jeffrey, with Brandon Marshall, they got a lot of weapons. And they got one of the most talented running backs in the game as well. They've got a lot of weapons. And I don't know how you can pick the Steelers in this game when they're scoring 9.9287678 points a game.
Hi. Divided by 2. Key matchup in this game, Lance, and it's the player you didn't mention, Martellus Bennett against the poo-poo platter of Keon Wilson and or Vince Williams. Either one of them, it doesn't even make a difference. They're going to get them in coverage. They're going to go with Bennett all day long. Bennett is an outstanding football player. He has incredible body control. He can run that seam route as well as probably even Jimmy Graham, in my opinion. He's a great player. He's going to have a big game. They're really going to struggle with him. The only thing I could think the Steelers are going to look to incorporate is probably the nickel slash dime package that they'll have with the four safeties on the field along with a cornerback, maybe even another cornerback as well. The only way to handle the size that they have in that seam route is going to be to get big, and they're not able to really get as big on the defensive line as they can in the secondary, proportionally speaking. So I think that's pretty much the only way that you're going to be able to defend what they have offensively. But this team very, very easily could score 28 or more points.
I think the other matchup you got to look at is, you know, Peppers on Mike Adams. I mean, that's chicken.
I'm trying not even to think about that.
I mean, that's chicken. That tastes like chicken. I mean, that's like you watch Mike Adams on film, the way he struggles with speed and lets guys cross his face and do whatever they want to do. Man, Julius Peppers is like, this is chicken, baby. This is chicken.
Peppers in the film room, just, you know, put his arms behind his head, kick his feet up, and think about, you know what, 10 years I've played every game. I'm more or less going to take this one off just because I'm not going to need to really work against this guy. There's no way. That's going to be bad.
How many contracts? If he's gotten two or three contracts, he's like, look, man, I'm about to get a fourth deal. I'm about to get a fourth deal today. I'm about to go ham. I'm going ham tonight.
The only 2.5-point favorite Chicago is on the road. That says something. Maybe the Steelers can pull something out here. We're going to find out, though. We'll be back here next week. Look for our show at that time. Any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to leave them in the comments on the post that is probably on the page that you're looking at on Behind the Steel Curtain right now. So hopefully we hear from you. Hopefully we can get you on the show sometime. But Lance, it's been a thin slice of heaven as always.
Well, all right.